Okay. All right, so I want to give a little introduction. For those of you who don't know, we're doing an interview today. In the past year or so, I've been doing these interviews called Reconciling Angel Interviews, where I interview people that are doing the work of peacemaking and bringing opposites together into something greater than the opposites. The quote that I often use to explain what reconciliation is the one about that from Rumi, where he says, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about." And these folks are in Rumi's field. The people that I bring in are playing in Rumi's field, as many of us are too, but we just are here to inspire each other. So my guest today is Fran Faraz, also known as Fran from Iran, and most recently known as the Maharinsis of Franistan. If you've seen I Love Lucy, you know what that is, okay? She is the Peace Studies Program Director at Golden West College, and she teaches courses in peace studies, conflict resolution, leadership, and social justice. She focuses on teaching peace through an understanding of human rights, ecological and economic well-being, equity, nonviolence, and intellectual transformation. Fran hosts the annual Peace Conference at Golden West College, as well as a number of other peace-themed events and forums throughout the year. I know Fran from Service Space, where we met once when I was up there for a weekend, and We served at Karma Kitchen together, which is a restaurant where there's no price tag on anything. Everyone, it's just like priceless pricing like we do here. Everybody just pays what they want, and you pay for the person that eats after you. And Fran and I were in charge of drinks, which was, we thought it would be easy, but it was actually these sort of like Indian-esque drinks that we didn't really know how to make. So it was tense, but we managed. And then we also served at the last retreat that Service Space had, where we had to hand out these little necklaces that were, when we took them out, they were all tangled up, and they were peace necklaces. So Fran and I are behind the scenes going, can't open this. Oh, would you like a peace necklace? So I have very fond associations with Fran, and I just love her dearly. So let's give her some love. She comes up here and joins us. Thank you, sweetheart. Good to see you. Thanks. Do you want to sit in that chair there? Okay. Hi, Fran.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm going to get your hair away from your mic there. That's perfect. Oh, beautiful.
Great,
okay.
Great,
yeah.
Great. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I'd really love to be in this space. This is my third time here, and each time, I swear, like, you know, when you sing the song, I am remembering.
Yes.
I'm just like, I could get all choked up and everything else. And then today I was like, oh, you can't do that. But this is an amazing space, and thank you for having it.
Oh,
and thank you for
sure.
having me.
We love you. We love you already.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you're not the first person who says that song affects them in that way.
Yes.
A lot of people cry for that song. Yeah. So you were born in Iran, right?
I was born in Iran, and I moved to the United States in 1978, and please don't add numbers to see how old I am. But I moved as a transfer student. There were a lot of strikes going on at the college, and my father thought that I would never graduate with this many things here. So I moved to Boston, Massachusetts, and I did my undergrad and grad school at Northeastern. Uh-huh. And so I lived there for 11 years and worked in corporate area, and then I moved to California to marry my husband. You know, he would never move to Massachusetts, and the weather was so nice here. I said, okay, you know, just like, I didn't tell him that, you know, the weather was nice. I was like, you know, I was like, oh, well, okay, I'll move to California, I guess. So I've lived here since 1988, and I worked in corporate America for about a good 16 years, 17 years. And I had like one morning. There were several events throughout my life, but I kind of like explained to my students, when you're Even your showers in the morning are getting longer and longer, and you don't want to get out, and you feel a hole in your heart and void in your soul, then you need that. You have to stop doing what you're doing. Uh-huh. And that's when I had the change of heart, and we can talk about it
more if
you'd like me to go into it.
I'd love to know more about what led you from those long showers to what you're doing now.
So there were like a lot of, so I decided to quit my job, like with all the difficulties that might come with it. And it was at a point that I felt like I can't do it even if I want to. And so I left my job. Well, everybody was telling me, oh, you worked so hard for this. Like, you worked almost all your life to be in this place. And it's like stupid to leave it. Like, can't you just kind of do a little bit of that and do a little bit of other people? No, I can't. I just can't. So I had a lot of sleepless nights. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, it was like, you know, when you're a child, like, you know, before Christmas, and you don't know what you're getting and all of that, you have that kind of a, mm-hmm. you know, gut feelings. And that was there, too, at the same time. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, you know, is it a bad thing or is it, you know, and I'm, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to the future I'm living into, I think is something really of worthiness. So it took me some time to figure out, not even to figure out, and I realized that I can't really figure this thing should reveal itself to me. But at the same time, you know, I was always a planner, and I was taught that way to do this. So this was like a back and forth between these two realms. And I think that it was like the year 2000 that I left my job. And I decided that, you know what, I would train myself as much as I don't know what's going to show up, but I will train myself in, you know, and find who I am really, you know, just go deeper with myself. And this thing, somehow it would reveal itself. And I think 9/11 happened, and that was very clear to me. Like, you know, the world, it is the way it is because I have been the way I have been. Mm. So that I'm not separate from this event. Mm. You know, like, I wasn't there, I didn't do it, but then I'm not separate from this event, and I'm not going back to sleep ever. You know, so at that point, I think that was kind of like a turning point. Mm-hmm. And I attended a training for healers at school, and it wasn't like about kind of healing people or, you know, anything like that. It was about getting a healing mind. And at the end of the training, they said, well, you know, you got to promise to come up or be and do something that's much bigger than yourself, something that would actually scare you, and you wouldn't know actually how to do it. And you got to ask your heart why before you do anything. And all of that kind of like, you know, miraculously, I became roommate with this gal who was in education, and she was at Golden West, and together we promised that we would do peace through education. And we had no idea what would that mean. Mm-hmm. You know, we just started, after that, started like investigating into what would that be like.
Can I stop you for a second? Yeah. Did it scare you?
Yeah, because I had no okay, idea. Okay. I had no idea. Like,
that's,
you know,
that's exciting part.
That was exciting. I was like, yeah. I have no idea how to do this. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how to write a curriculum. I have no idea how to get in front of the academic senate and tell them I'm from Iran and take me, trust me, I'll do something that I have never done before. give me a platform here. Give me classrooms. Yeah. Give me salary. Give mm-hmm. me.
benefits.
Give me benefits. Yeah. You know, I had no idea how to ask for those things. And miraculously, when I was there, like, you know, people, they were like, really open to it. And they were like, yeah, let's investigate into it. Let's look into it. And then I, you know, just met after that. It was just miraculous. People that I met, mentors that they came along, and they were willing to train me in this field, mm-hmm. and share their knowledge and information with me, you know, to tell me like how it's being done, like, you know, when you're in academic, you know, environment, how it's being done, because I had no idea, you know, where to push, where to stop, where to be, where to, you know, mm-hmm. your alliances and everything else. Like those were the things that I had no idea. Content material and all of that, they were, that was like really scary for me, not knowing, but miraculously people and friends showed up on my in that way.
So I feel like I would like to make a point to the congregation that many of us have been reading these books by Tosha Silver, where she talks about surrendering everything to the divine, and that really the divine has a plan already, and when we surrender, things start to sort of fall into place. And it sounds exactly like you did that through that inspirational message that man gave you, man gave you to do something that scares you, you know, and just do it anyway. And that's such an act of surrender. And you see what happened, that the right people showed up and the right resources showed up, and here she is now, the director of a peace studies program.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
and also
you.
The jumping off the cliff to leave your job. That was huge.
That is, that was probably the biggest thing I have ever done, not knowing.
Yeah.
Not knowing, you know, and there was nothing. And particularly people on the other side, they was like, you're stupid. Nobody would do that. Yeah. You work harder, you know. Nobody would do that. Do a little bit of this.
And right, right.
A little bit of, yeah.
Yeah. And has anybody here been told that a dream of yours is kind of stupid and you shouldn't do it?
Yeah, you shouldn't do it.
A bunch of us. Do we need to do a show of pinkies for those who are shy? Okay. All right. So we understand that you jumped off this cliff in several cliffs, and you have this peace program going on now. And then I want to jump ahead in my questions a little bit. What do you see as the major obstacles in humanity? You know, I loved it how you said when 9/11 happened that you said you didn't do it, but you were still part of it.
Sure.
Right. So what are the major, why were you still part of that? And why are we all still part of that?
Well, I think, you know, many things that was said before this, that we are all interconnected, interrelated.
Right.
In reality of it, I mean, like, it feels good that we feel like we are connected. But then the reality of it, that's where we carry it, mm-hmm. that we are connected. Yeah, I'm totally connected to those events. You know, there is not peace in the world because I have never contributed to that. It has mm-hmm. always been until that moment. It was always about me. It was never, I had never moved from me to we, mm-hmm. you know, just like I had never produced anything other than from time to time opening up my checkbook to things. Mm-hmm. And that's barely, you know, anything, you know. So I'd never brought my being into, you know, the change. So I think one of the obstacles is that we always think that peace is somebody else's job. Mm-hmm. We like the quote from Gandhi, says, like, you know, be the change you want to see in the world, because we think that, you know, well, you change, not me. Well, what's me for you?
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything. I'm pretty good. Yeah. I'm a good person.
How many, just a show of pinkies again, how many of you have been like, be the peace you need to see in the world? Jonna, you really need to.
Yeah.
Anybody ever have that thought? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. I often have students to have like bring like really interesting quotes and inspiring quotes, and I would say to them that read it with the I statement. Mm. You know, I want to be the change that I want to see in the world, and that would totally change everything. Mm. So kind of like, you know, they would like, you know, if you want to inspire yourself, get those inspiring quotes. And read it with an I statement. And
can we stop there for just a sec? Because that's brilliant. So it's usually be the peace you want to see in the world, right?
Yes.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Be the change you want to see.
So I am the change I want to see in the world. Would you like to say that with me? I am the change I want to see in the world. Is it true? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
So it brings us into the game.
Yes, it does.
It brings, like, you know, it doesn't exist outside of me. I'm pretty much it.
Yes.
And the reason we like leaders such as Martin Luther King or Gandhi, for all intents and purposes, they never said that, you know, I'm the leader, just follow me. They were the movement themselves. They were it, you know. So they never thought that, oh, okay, well, I just lead you, come with me. But they did exactly. I mean, they were it. So one, I think, is because we think it's somebody else's job. Secondly, is that because I think we need to know how. A lot of things we need to be skills that we need to kind of acquire throughout, like in particular communication skills, listening skills, which is really part of communication skills, learning the arts and science of being a human being, forgiveness, and I always thought that forgiveness is like, oh, forget and forget, and then until I really read that, you know, it's for giving, like, you know, it's two parts to this word. So really educating ourselves and being able to sit with difficult things and not thinking that I want to just escape it because it's way too difficult. I don't want to know about this. You know, let's move to somewhere that it's a little bit easier and more feely type of thing, because those things exist. And unless I am really understanding the problem, like I'm really going into it and have like a really strong gut feeling to got to sit through it and feel it, and then get engaged with, you know, and become creative and show our resiliency. We are resilient. We are a very resilient species. You know, we were not ever supposed to be even, you know, surviving, because when we were in the beginning of history, we were not so, we were not very impressive compared to other animals that they were at the time. We were supposed to be going out of, you know, out of existence very soon.
We're supposed to be animal food, basically.
Yeah, yeah. We're supposed to be. Yeah. We're not, our jaws weren't not very strong. Our you know, our claws wasn't. So, what saved us was this kind of, like, you know, wanting, you know, our resiliency and our cooperation and with each other and the connection that together we kind of we did things. So this is a difficult part that, you know, we need to be educated in things and learn the arts and science of being a human being, learning the skills, communication skills, listening, forgiveness, learning the problems, what are the problems. I don't think, you know, those are the obstacles. We don't know them, and we don't know how to. It's great to feel all of it, but also we need to know how to do these things when we encounter conflict. We are 7 billion people. It's impossible on Earth, and it's impossible that we won't have conflict or not having. It's impossible, and for conflict to go away, you know, it won't. We will have them. Our attitudes towards them is really important, how we are willing to sit down and communicate and sit down and listen to each other and sit down and really kind of bring the connection to it. And it means really to understand one thing in all peace studies is that there is a problem, there is a suffering, and people usually go to a space that it is me versus you, us versus them. And if we can shift, learn how to shift very quickly to it is you and me as one unit versus the problem. Yeah, there is a problem exists. And we typically, I loved what you read that, yeah, you know, that, you know, it's just like, well, yeah, one wouldn't kind of like, you know, say, well, why aren't you writing anything? But, you know, understanding that they are two of them together versus the problem.
Yeah.
I think that we have to keep training ourselves in that modality of thinking.
So it's, and so, yeah, good job. yeah. And it almost, I mean, I think a way, I wonder, tell me if this is correct, a way to sum that up might be to say your problem is my problem.
Your problem is my problem.
Yeah, my problem is your problem.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And let's be together with this. And you know, in this, I don't know if you remember from various times we've talked, but we talk in the past, we haven't done it so much lately, we talk about this thing called the third force, where there's an affirming factor and a denying factor, and then surrounding all of it, if we just leave the spaciousness of not yelling at each other and listening, there is a third that comes in that makes a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like our problems are definitely connected. Like, you know, I can't say that I win it, and I'm sure, like I shared with the students, like, you know, have you won a conversation but then lost a friend?
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
And have you lost a conversation but kept a friend?
You know? Well, and then this is maybe crossing into territory that I may not want to cross into, but you know, you said to become informed about the problems.
Yes.
And I'm finding that watching the news doesn't really inform me about the problems.
No.
Now, what is your thought on that?
I usually listen to news that they have analysis of things rather than just keep repeating the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, you know, just like, you know, we can right now, we have the information and all of that, but really going into more of digging into it with the mindset that I'm not looking for who is at fault. Mm-hmm. I am looking for, I'm investigating, I'm curious and interested. Those are like, you know, the attitude that I want to have and for a young generation that I'm honestly, with integrity and with authenticity of all, I am curious and interested to know about this. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm kind of going into it with that kind of attitude, certain news, I won't go even into it. Mm-hmm. And I would be finding the sources and people and all of that that really I can get my hands really on it. But the attitude should be that I can't go into it with having a preconception that, you know, I would wind up, proving my own point that mm-hmm. I just went into it. It requires honesty and it requires integrity. It requires a lot of authenticity to look into that before, you know.
For making decisions.
And if I find myself that I'm taking sides, then I know that I'm out of the field.
Ah, nice. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like it's you go in there with your preconceived notion that they're right, but you can also go in there with the preconceived notion that the other is wrong.
Yeah.
And then this one supports how wrong the other person is, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's a beautiful strategy. I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Thank you.
You know, honestly, we don't have that much time left, but I would like to just ask you a couple of things. Like, I guess to consolidate some of my other questions, is there hope? Is there hope for peace?
Yeah, there are two points I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
And one, I want to also, Thich Nhat Hanh has also one really great saying also that, you know, peace is every step. That, you know, for us to feel like, you know, there is a place that we are going to arrive at, mm-hmm. that's not so.
Yeah.
That's not so. You know, if I'm looking honestly with integrity and all of that, and I'm reaching out with listening and, you know, all of that, and today, then right. I will have like a month that we have been peaceful. You know, it's just like every step rather than we think that, you know, it's actually like a paradise somewhere that, you know, we're going to arrive at. That's not so.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's just certain laws of physics.
Yeah. There's also the thing of once I get my act together, then I'll be peaceful, right?
Yeah.
Not at all.
No. It's just the very first step. Am
right.
I peaceful?
Yeah.
And am I practicing peace? And then I think something called authentic hope versus inauthentic hope. The inauthentic hope is rooted in optimism, rooted not in reality. You know, just like, you know, it's just like the reality is not that way. But I feel like, you know, just like, yeah, I just want to feel good. You know, this is a feel-good feel. And that's kind of like very inauthentic for us to hope for things but things that they are not rooted in reality. Authentic hope calls us to be engaged, to be creative, to live through the challenges. And it's kind of like, you know, really through creative, authentic engagement, persistent engagement every day. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of like, you know, that brings us to a very authentic hope.
Yeah.
Seeing ourselves as the agent of change. And like my good friend from Dr. Paul Agar from UCI always says that, you know, you appoint yourself. Mm. Like nobody else comes and appoints you to be a peace builder. Appoint yourself and take responsibility.
Yeah.
And take responsibility for however it is. And that kind of makes us to do every step with with integrity, with responsibility. We don't need governments to give us policies or rules and regulations. If I know climate change is going to impact the future generation, the quality of life that they have, today I can start changing my consumptions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You know, I don't have to.
Yeah. 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 You know, the idea of authentic hope too versus inauthentic hope. I think that's one of the reasons we started talking a lot about the third force here. Yeah. The third force is an affirming factor and a denying factor. So let's say peace is the affirming. What is in the way of peace is denying. And rather than just pretending that this one doesn't exist, we recognize that this is an essential part of the process, of reconciliation of these two things, so that a greater outcome that's better than this one winning or this one winning, a greater outcome that encompasses all of that can come forth. I mean, there are possibilities here that we have not even dreamed of.
Yeah.
You know?
We haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah. And I think exactly what you're saying is the way to midwife it, to give birth to it, is to stop trying to tell other people to be the change and choose yourself. I am the change I wish to see in the world. And also to appoint ourselves into that position. So with that being said, I've got one more question for you,
sure.
If that's okay.
Sure.
Is there anything that we can do as a community to support you in your work? Because it seems like it's just so important.
Oh. I think staying connected with each other and keep supporting each other's work, knowing like what you're doing and let me contribute to it. Mm-hmm. And I'll share with you what we are doing, and the contribution could be in the form of mostly brainstorming, bringing our gifts and talents into the space, staying in a network of peace builders.
Peace builders, that's lovely. Yeah,
yeah. That would be
awesome. Yeah. One more. And also in terms of being connected, Fran does a yearly conference down in Orange County. And
yes.
Do you want to just say a few words about that?
So one of the things came up as a result of that, and I have absolutely no idea how even that one happened. I just kind of like, you know, after certain years, I looked at it and was like, oh my God, I have been doing this for 7 years. And then, you know, 8 years, and this is our 14 years of
wow.
annual peace conference. And so, yeah, we invite each year. It has a different theme. Sometimes equity, sometimes environmental sustainability. Sometimes this year, I mean, you name it. It has different themes. This year, we are focusing on art, you know, and how artistic expressions can actually kind of, you know, bring. Because we could sometimes, I've noticed that we could talk about things forever, and then a piece of art, a piece of poetry, a piece of music, you know, it just like transforms people like that, you know, and it's very transformational. So we are looking at artists, poets, filmmakers, those who kind of can talk about the issues, but then they bring awareness to it, and how they are using their gifts and talents, you know, so this year. So every year is very different, and then we keep role modeling that. Like if we're saying that, you know, this event should be peaceful, the event is zero waste, the event is vegan, the event is like, you know, showing like, see how easy that is, how doable that is, see how delicious that is, how possible that is. Just keep saying that as you see that. You know, the gifts are all like, you know, been handmade by people. See, you don't need money always to make it interesting. See how the succulents that, you know, people, they get, you know, go get donations and they put it nicely together. My husband is one of them. I can kind of do the centerpieces there. And people, they come in and help out. See how possible that is. People, you know, display their arts, you know, and pay it forward type of thing. See how possible that is. So that's kind of like the spirit of the event, that see how possible all of this is if we are all working together.
So you're upsetting the traditional structures of how things are done.
Totally.
Good job.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
Just as I edited this thing for Service Space, and one of the things that I loved was they said that Jesus was, one of his major roles in life was to disturb the established structures.
Yes.
Yes. So yes. You're kind of like Jesus.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Disturbing, it's one of the things, disturbing the peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a good thing. Like, you know, just like, you know, we read, you know, the letter from Birmingham Jail, that, you know, just like Martin Luther King brings it up, like, you know, yeah, that's a dead peace. Yeah, it could be, you know, certain peace, you know, you're looking at it. Yeah, things are not moving at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's also a dead peace.
So we...
And disturbing the peace.
Yes, we are going to end with that paradox that in order to have peace, we have to do some disturbing the peace, right?
We
Isn't
have
that
to
so
do
cool?
some disturbing of peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you speaking with
Thank
us.
You,
you did
Thank
such
you
a wonderful
so
job, and it was great. Let's give her lots
Thank
of love.
So much. Thank you.